bless thee and keep thee forever.
Have you seen it? Have you seen the title of this episode? I can't quite believe it, but I have Sam Hardwick on today's episode, and we'll be talking all about his experience working with the band as the voice of the famous Dead Boy on Wishmaster, and of course, his spoken word opening in Century Child on this episode's track, Bless the Child. Sam has a huge and an important part to play in Nightwish's history, so I'm extremely honoured to find out how he reflects on the experience now as an adult. And elsewhere, we are dissecting one of the most beloved songs in the band's history, the gorgeous Bless the Child, and firmly placing ourselves back in the new millennium when the album was released. So, no time to waste, let's crack on. Sam Hardwick is a huge part of Nightwish history. His voice brought to life the Dead Boy in Dead Boy's poem, and years later he returned a little older to invite us into the world of Century Child. Since Sam has kept a relatively low profile since his closing words on Beauty of the Beast, the final track of the album, I was extremely fortunate when he did agree to talk to me about his experience with the band. But first things first, let's consult the trusty Once Upon a Nightwish book about how Sam first came to be involved with Nightwish. I had an idea of a song with a young boy reciting a poem, Thomas says. The trouble was that no Finnish 12-year-old could pronounce English right, so I had to find a native speaker. My mother's sister, actress Mita Sovali, knew the English-Finnish director and writer Neil Hardwick well, and my mum remembered that Neil had a son called Sam. I called him and asked him to do the poem, and Sam agreed right away. It was just funny that when I talked to this 15-year-old boy, he seemed like such a citizen of the world and was actually familiar with our band. Sam said he'd be free to record the poem anytime, I just had to give him a call. He even knew where Finvox was and promised to meet us there. And from Sam's own blog, hardwick.fi if you're interested, he gives that job a brief mention in his blog post, My Non-Career, and he states, "My highest paid by the hour work I've ever done, voice work for the metal band Nightwish, a job I had no previous experience with and happened quite randomly." So firstly, I wanted to ask Sam to talk about that initial contact. In Finland, Nightwish surely were quite well known at that point, breaking through in the Oceanborn era, but their level of success was minuscule to what they experience today. So how much did Sam know about the band before getting involved?
Just through reading the newspapers, I was aware of them. They were, you know, a little bit successful already internationally, and in Finland, anything that has any international success becomes well known, and I knew through that way. I knew of them as an opera metal band. I mean, Finland has tons of metal bands, as you must know. And that wasn't particularly my style of music at the time. So I didn't, you know, hadn't really listened to any of their records, but I had the impression that they were kind of really big in their own niche, and that they were really good, and so I was, you know, curious to meet them, curious to do the recording.
The performance that Sam gave, it's fair to say, got a rave review in the band's first biography. It states, "The professionalism of young Sam Hardwick made a deep impression on Thomas. When he arrived at the studio, I had to ask him to wait for 10 minutes or so. He just pulled a book from his pocket and sat down to read," Thomas says. "I gave him the poem and he read it through a few times. We did some editing and Sam just sat down on the studio floor and read his book, after which I asked him to read the poem a couple more times. When I started talking about his reward, he wouldn't hear anything about it. He just said, 'That's okay, it was fun.' I insisted on giving him at least a couple of hundred Finnish marks and then he left. A very puzzling young man, but a real pro and a very nice person. He later did the beginning of Bless the Child too, and once again everything worked like a charm. Dead Boy's poem continues to be a sort of signature song for Nightwish. After Wishmaster came out, the song was voted on our website as the best Nightwish song ever. There's certainly something about it that defines us, and for me at least, the poem is the absolute high point of the song, so Sam Hardwick made a big contribution to our music. As I mentioned, despite his vital role in the band as the Dead Boy, Sam hasn't been involved in Nightwish albums since Century Child. The natural follow-on question then was, what about his relationship with the band's music now? Does he listen to the band these days?
Not that much. I do listen to, I do pay attention to what they're doing. And I have a great deal of respect for their approach to the creative process and their projects. Very ambitious and lots of ideas, and I think that's great. The opera kind of style of singing never really spoke to me somehow, so I don't listen to them that much. Recently I've sometimes looked at their concerts on YouTube, like some particular songs, and it's kind of fun to see people reacting really strongly to them. They got hugely emotional fans. Like I watched some versions of Phantom of the Opera, which I thought they did really well, and I thought that was really great.
Let's turn our focus for a second to this episode's focus track. Bless the Child has long since been adored by fans ever since Century Child was released. We hear from the biography what Thomas thought about the song. Thomas has a clear opinion about the key songs on Century Child. I knew right away that Bless the Child was going to be the opening track and that it was going to be at least one of my favourites on the album. It's easy to hear the Hans Zimmer influence there, as it's very much like a movie score. The lyrics pretty much sum up the album's main theme. Again, the spoken parts were delivered by our official Dead Boy, Sam Hardwick. As someone that is so used to an impactful, hard-hitting intro track, this did feel like quite a strange way to open an album. In hindsight, I think it's a brave example of the band trusting their audience, and instead of riffs, it puts forward an emotional subject that would go on to colour the rest of the album, and Taria sounds particularly heartfelt on this track. Also, looking back, no other song could have opened the album in such a fitting fashion. It really prepares you for what is to come, and it's one of the band's finest moments in bringing together their sound, emotion, their now familiar subject matters, and packaging it all in a song that stands up to repeated listens. Still, the opening build of the choir is so haunting and captivating, and the dramatic crescendo as the final chorus hits home. There isn't much here that can't be classified as Nightwish at their best. Interestingly then, considering its length at over 6 minutes, the song was lifted from Century Child as a single. Initially it was released as a three-track single. The most frequent version I see flying around though is the Spinefarm EP, which features a host of Nightwish rarities, Oceanborn, B-side, Night Quest, Angels Fall First, Eras of Return to the Sea, and Once Upon a Troubadour, Century Child's B-sides The Wayfarer, and On the Drakkar, Nems, and the initial single release Lagoon as well. If that isn't enough to tempt you, Wishmaster's Come Cover Me and Dead Boy's Poem are included as live cuts, and a heavier version of their Eurovision attempt Sleepwalker is included as well. That is how you do an EP, guys. What a feast this would have been, especially for fans who hadn't been able to trace some of these B-sides and rarities in the pre-YouTube and Spotify universe. And speaking of universe, a Universal release in the Netherlands offered it with a revised track list of four tracks, the title track, The Wayfarer, Sleepwalker and Night Quest, and also a DVD release was put on including the Bless the Child video and the video for Over the Hills and Far Away, as well as an interview, so there are plenty of versions of this to go around. But what do we think of the single sleeve then? Like I said, numerous versions, but generally they stick to one sleeve with a slight amendment, which I will come on to. So I'll post the pics on Instagram, which is Podcast Pendulum. So let me know what you think of the cover. From researching it, it looks like there is primarily just the cover with Taria that a lot of fans will be familiar with, but also the NEMS release, which incorporated the young girl from the Everdream artwork into the cover as well. The pros for me about this cover is that it fits really nicely in line with the purple Century Child colour scheme, but I just generally feel that it's a little bit uninspired, and I'm not really a big fan of just tacking the singer's image on the front of a single just for the sake of it. And we'll talk about that again in next week's episode, which I think has a god-awful cover photo. So any guesses about next week's episode? The single edit is present on a number of releases, including in the video, and primarily the biggest change is the intro, which gets straight into the riffs a lot sooner, and I also believe it cuts out Sam Hardwick's intro sequence. And speaking of that video, I'm raising my hand now as a fake fan and confessing that I never knew there was an official video for Bless the Child until I did this episode. I thought that like maybe they'd cobbled together some live performances, which I never really find too inspiring, but nope, it's an official video with a storyline, you know, very professionally recorded. Reading the Wikipedia entry, apparently the band found the video too complex, which is something I probably would agree with. I vaguely understand that this couple that star in the video, they're shown in reverse, so first as adults and then later as children. It seems that they find their own innocence in their relationship together, which is of course a running theme on Century Child, all about innocence and the loss of innocence. But a lot of that knowledge of the video is helped by my own knowledge of Nightwish and their ideologies. The idea is there, but yeah, it's probably not the best video, and it is quite confusing storyline wise. Maybe we can consult the YouTube comments for clarity, right? No, it's the usual fights over which vocalist is best. I should have guessed. I will say though, something that I've mentioned before, Taria again looks absolutely stunning, as she did in all of the promos for Century Child's era. This dark gothic look suits her so beautifully, and her nod to the colour scheme of Century Child with her purple eyeshadow is a lovely touch. In the days before the Ducky Banana dress, we had all Taria in black, and that echoed the album's dark sentiment. It was a really dark time for the band. And one thing that unfortunately, as I mentioned, has been cut from the beginning of the intro is Sam Hardwick's piece. The boy becomes a man, as we hear in his deeper delivery compared to his youthful, melancholic part in Dead Boy's poem. Harking back to Beauty of the Beast, another song that Sam contributed to, Tuomas says of it, "Beauty of the Beast is the most ambitious song on the album. The process seemed endless, and in the end we were using something like 140 tracks. Marco wrote the first of its three parts. Right from the beginning, I felt the song would fit our image in a special way, as the theme of Beauty and the Beast recurs on all of our albums. Even the band itself is like four beasts and a beauty. It's all about juxtaposing themes. The song finishes what Bless the Child started." Between Beauty of the Beast, Bless the Child, and Dead Boy's poem, I wanted to ask Sam if he had a personal preference of the songs that he contributed to. Which one was his favourite?
I guess it must be Dead Boy's poem, just because that was the first one and the one that I remember recording the best. It takes me back to that time. Kind of fun to listen to. I remember from those sessions, meeting the whole band. That was the only time I met the whole band, and they asked me to do takes. They would give me directions how to do it, and first like just do it in a kind of neutral way, and they told me like do it like more emotional, and kind of like don't worry about sounding silly, just be super super emotional, and we'll edit it together from all the takes and make it sound good. And in the last takes, it really was like I was sort of close to sort of a crying voice, and felt feeling really silly about it, and kind of worried, well, I'm going to sound ridiculous in the result. But it came out fine.
It certainly was an emotional delivery, I'm sure we can all agree, and it definitely fit the brief for what the album and the song needed. So was this the start of a new career in voice work for Sam?
No, I haven't had a career in it, and I think it would have been pretty hard to try to get a career in it. I never really entered my mind. Although, occasionally I do get asked to do some things, usually for free, which I, you know, if I can, I'm happy to do that. But no, it's on the job.
Ever since its inclusion on the Century Child tour, Bless the Child has been something of a mainstay on the live scene. Immortalized with Floor on the Showtime Storytime DVD, we hear her shift away to a more lyrical style and less operatic. Taria blended in with the choirs beautifully, but Floor sits atop them with a prowess to her voice. And going the other way, Taria sounds even more operatic as she has since included the track in her own solo performances. Unsurprisingly, with the song sitting in a higher, more operatic register and relying much more on those operatic stylings of the vocalist, Annette was spared performing it during her time in the band, and it was actually only when Floor joined on the Imaginarium tour that it was included in the set. So which vocalist has your favourite rendition of the song? I would struggle to choose between Floor or Taria, both very unique and special in their own way. And whilst we discuss those live performances, my last question when speaking to Sam gave a really fascinating and insightful answer. I wanted to know whether Sam ever gets recognised for his work with the band. Having not been involved with them for some time, yet living in Finland where the group are huge, has he ever been recognised for that familiar voice that many fans have listened to time and time again?
Not by journalists, you are the first one there, so congratulations. I have got fan mail, most frequently from Brazil, for whatever reason. I guess we should begin Brazil. I have sometimes, like, people who know me from something else, just socially, when it comes up that I've done this, you know, often they're kind of super impressed, and I've sometimes ended up taking selfies with people, you know, for that reason or something. But no, it hasn't had a huge impact on my life. It mostly just makes me happy. It was like this cool thing to have done. Like, sometimes it will kind of be a bit jarring. Like, I remember one night I was just switched on the TV on a random channel, and there was like a Nightwish concert on, like, Finnish TV, like a recorded concert, and I just switched it on at one of the bits in Dead Boy's Poem where my voice was on, and I heard my own voice and saw like thousands of sort of German fans sort of in tears, you know, emotional about it, and that was very weird, but you know, in a good way. Thanks for asking these questions. It was fun to answer.
Wow, again, I still can't quite believe that we got Sam Hardwick on my little old podcast, but I'm so extremely grateful and having a real fanboy moment, so excuse me. But he is, as I mentioned hopefully enough times, a huge part of Nightwish's history. He's contributed significantly to two of the band's formative albums, and his voice is still heard across tens of thousands of people in festivals and live shows, so it really is incredible to have him on today's episode. But now I'm going to cast my beady eyes on you guys, well, namely those of you who voted in the Reddit knockout. See where Bless the Child came in the Century Child knockout. So we already know that Everdream won, and Beauty of the Beast, despite being an epic, didn't win. So where did Bless the Child come? Okay, we're looking. Oh, second place. Wow, okay. Not completely surprised. Like I said earlier, I know that Bless the Child is a song that a lot of people hold very close to their heart, and it has been a mainstay in the band's set. It always gets a really great reaction. But even still, I do feel like it is warranted. It has done really well to finish in second place, but it's such a beautiful song. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it really is Nightwish at their best. It's emotional, it's captivating, it's orchestral, it's epic. And in many ways, this album and the introduction of the grand orchestras and the symphonic elements overtaking the power metal elements, it really is a very formative album for the band. It would shape what would come later with the more epic Once and Dark Passion Play albums. So yeah, Bless the Child, I think, is a fantastic ambassador for Century Child. It's a great single, even though it isn't one that I probably would have thought to pick myself, but it is a real great gateway into this era of the band. So very happy with second place. And to finish, let's dig a little bit into the lyrics. I think that this is, I mean, I've said this so many times, I feel like a broken record, but a great example of the general theme of Century Child. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure Thomas has said that it's something of a concept album and that most of the songs are about loss of innocence, and that here is perfectly explained. We get the idea of a child, the personification of innocence, and that lyric, "Why am I loved only when I'm gone back in time to bless the child." But for me, my favorite set of lyrics from this song are the opening section, which Sam speaks, because of the references to other parts of the album. So it opens with, "I was born amidst the purple waterfalls," which of course is a reference to the Century Child album cover, which is a really stunning album art. "Dead to the world, alive for the journey," track 3 on Century Child, "Dead to the world." "One night I dreamt a white rose withering." If anyone's seen the artwork of the Century Child booklet, there's a lot of flowers in there, and it's showing one that is in bloom through to it withering away. And then finally in that section, "I witnessed the beauty of the beast." What more can I say? I just love when they self-reference. I really hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode as much as I have. I feel really, really proud of this one because of our guests, but also because this song really does mean so much to so many people. It's really, for me, when Nightwish started to become the band that I absolutely adored. I love their power metal stuff. I love Wishmaster, I love Oceanborn. But when they became more dark, more epic, more orchestral around this time, it was when I really, really fell in love with them. So thank you again, of course, to Sam Hardwick. I don't think I could thank him enough for taking the time to contribute. It's really fascinating to hear, especially the answer to that last question where he turns on the TV and might hear his own voice as a child. How crazy is that? It's really interesting to see what we contribute to in our lives, how they can take on a life of their own. And speaking of this, this podcast seems to be doing exactly that, taking on a life of its own. With Spotify, we are nearing 200 followers, which has blown my mind. I saw the number the other day and I was like, this can't be right. What the hell? 200. Thank you to everyone that has already followed. I would be hugely grateful if you did listen and you enjoyed that, you would follow. That would be awesome. And do whatever you need to do to share it with your friends and anyone that will be interested. I personally am terrified of feeling like I'm spamming people, so I'm really poor at the promotion business. So do feel free to share this podcast as widely as you feel comfortable. If there's anyone you think would enjoy it, then I'd appreciate that so much. And as always, at the very least, thank you for listening and sticking with me through this week's episode. Next week's guest is very special to me, maybe not so much to Nightwish's history, but certainly to this podcast's history, as she is such an icon. But anyway, I'm going to give it away if I keep on talking. So have a great week. Wash your hands. Steer clear of the coronavirus. Wash those hands for at least 20 seconds. And that's just under the amount of time in Bless the Child that it takes before Sam Hardwick starts speaking, just as a point of reference for you. But stay safe, everyone, and we'll speak again next week. The podcast and the Pendulum is a fan-run podcast not affiliated with Nightwish, Nuclear Blast, Spine Farm, Drakkar, or any associated companies. We post new episodes each Wednesday. Please subscribe on however you listen to your podcast.